Blog Talk Radio.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware.
Scott Enstra Network. Towards the end of this month, pretty fast. I got some things I want to say, and then I want to just open it up too for anyone who wants to send me any email, any questions. Before I get into everything, I wanted to remind everyone that we finally finished signing the contract with KFNX in Phoenix, AM 1100. So we're still seeing if we can come in on a Saturday show, but it looks like Sundays is it. If you happen to be in the Phoenix area or know someone around in there, we're also looking for sponsors. And so I'll have an hour to do what I do, and I'll include any commercials of anyone that's willing to help out. Now, last night we talked. Julie gave a lot of information about issues of child abuse, child murder, child rape, all kinds of information, specifics, names, times, dates, numbers. And I want everyone to, it's a lot of stuff. I let it air. I let that stuff come out. I don't like it. But at the same time, because it puts us at risk. I've already had some issues here where, I'll just tell you, somebody actually came into the gym where I go to and they brandished a weapon. You don't do that in a gym. You don't do that in a locker room. So it was intended for me. And whatever the circumstance was or whatever really is going on, I just have to keep moving forward. I've been doing this a very long time. Some of my biggest opponents are actually professing Christians. There are people who profess to be Christians that would just love to cut my throat. Which is insane. So it tells you that they're really not. There's a lot of things I disagree, but I would never, ever have that attitude. Now, one of the things that seems to upset some people who listen to the show is our attitude towards, non-human, with people still not comprehending that they're non-human. And these non-human have no soul. They're not of God, and they're here to destroy, to eat, to sacrifice, to drink the blood of children. Okay. Now, it's as crazy and as hard as that is to comprehend, and that you may think that we're nuts and we're crazy. I get it. I'm still trying to wrap my brain around that. But I do know that after all the years that I've been casting out demons, that there are some things that just do not make sense. There are things that I have seen, witnessed, experienced, that went to another category above the norm of casting out demons, if you want to call it that. I mentioned with law enforcement that you know, they teach the officers on traffic stops that there's no regular or common traffic stop. Every one of them has to be addressed independently because you have absolutely no idea who you're pulling over. Doesn't matter, young, old, male, female. Your next breath could potentially be coming up. And I've seen some, you know, videos, recent videos of that very circumstance. And so the question is, are you ready? Are you ready for the next circumstance that could cause you to never take another breath on this earth again? Are you ready to understand that there's a villain, entities, I should say, more than one, other than just demons? And believe me, these things are demon-possessed, okay? In my book, Second Heaven Invasion, in the last chapters, I discuss that. And I specifically refer to the beasts of Nephilim hybrids, because you have them with their own attitude, their own will, and on top of it, then they're demon-possessed. So do we have authority over them? Because in reality, since they're not dead yet, okay, then they're not an evil spirit. We need to remember that the evil spirits come from those things that have died that were a corruption of Satan and his fallen angels. In particular, actually, it seems that the fallen angels took among themselves 200 of them to make a pact to do this. And no one in there mentions Satan. So apparently there's things happening in parallel. And why not, right? You've got several countries that hate the United States, and some countries have a right to hate the United States. And so they send their people to cause destruction all independently, and sometimes we're hit simultaneously. If you've been in any church long enough, you'll experience being hit simultaneously by so-called Christians. Okay? You know, I've made the joke that you can't swing a dead demon around your head and not hit a Jezebel when you're in the foyer or sanctuary of a church, and it's true. Let's take Jezebels, let's take witches, let's take sorcerers, and let's just group them all together, okay? Because, one, they're all influenced by the same darkness. They have darkness in their heart because they're willing to inflict destruction onto other people. See, Christianity is different than this, and different than other so-called religions, where we have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Okay, so we go right to Him through Christ. Okay, and we're not required to kill anybody. We're not going to get a bunch of Virginians. We're not going to do things that supposedly set the stage for our family to go to Allah or Buddha or whatever. Okay, this is an independent, each individual decision, choice, and with that is a individual choice with Christ. And when in Christ, then you have a permit to go to the Father. Okay? Now, we're told that if we lose our life for Christ's name, then we shall save it, meaning that our souls, our spirits. Let me break that down. Now, I need to say spirit. When we say soul, we're talking about your mind, will, emotions, okay? We're body, soul, spirit. We're three-part beings. And some like to take that even further. But we have a spirit that's placed into our physical body, which I believe was created from the beginning. God is the Father of spirits, and kind of like take us off the shelf and put us in a time and place. Now, we're appointed once to die. So there is no reincarnation. Now, we have Enoch and we have Elijah who have not seen death. Okay, so I believe that they're most likely going to be the two witnesses. That's just my opinion. And then you know that they will be killed. Okay, so now they die, and then God resurrects them again. Okay, so we're all appointed once to die. Now, the question is, when you die, your spirit, and while you're in your vessel, your body, your temple, you are subject to things that enable you to go one way or another, or I should say influence you, and then we make decisions. Now, when we make a decision to become bondservants of Jesus Christ, then we enter into the kingdom. We become heirs of the Most High. We are children of the Most High God. And we, while we're on earth, though, we're empowered. Okay, I've mentioned it before, it's kind of like being deputized. You know, the sheriff deputizes and then can have deputies or posse members that act as the sheriff in his place when he's not available. Okay, so that's why a deputy has rights within a county of a state to stand in and representation of the sheriff. And with it comes powers of arrest, powers to kill if necessary. Okay? And obviously the honor to serve the public. So we as Christians, as we move forth until the return of Jesus Christ, then we stand in proxy. We move forth in the power and authority given to us through him because of his willful sacrifice on the cross. And so now we have the ability to go against the enemy, to go against principalities, powers, rulers, those things of darkness which are evil, which includes Satan, which includes fallen angels, which includes demons, and any other creature that seems to fall into that category. Okay? Demons are extremely mass in their variety. Okay? They can be everything from a spider to a wolf to a bird. And they also take on different names. Like for instance, Julie and I were discussing the one that I ran in 2 years ago, and it referred to itself as Copycat Jesus. And so what it was trying to do was to bring a sense of false Holy Spirit into the person's life, to give them the thought that they were in Christ when in reality they were not, because they had not been through deliverance. They had many sins, a lot of sexual sins. In fact, it was a female that I was dealing with that this demon manifested. Okay? So here you have a female manifesting a entity, a demon, and its ugly nature is to copycat Jesus, which is a male, right? Pretty bizarre. Spirit realm is very bizarre, very crazy. But we have been given all power and all authority over it. The problem is, most of us are not ready for that. So that's in a nutshell what the show is about tonight. Are you ready? It isn't just the coming of these things that will cause men's hearts to fail them for fear. Well, we know if we believe in God's word, then we know that's true. Okay? And fear, by the way, is the exact opposite of faith. In post-traumatic stress, can release that fear. I've always said that PTSD is the devil's playground. Now, I've had it. Some of you have had it. Some of you have it now. Some of you may be returning vets from the military. My father had it. It's terrible. You know, you're fragmented. You're wounded. You're hurt. You're broken. And your emotions are uncontrollable because you're in survival mode. You haven't been healed yet. And as I mentioned, it's the devil's playground. So now you have demons that come in and irritate and prod and deceive and lie and cause depression and anxieties and sleeplessness and again, the spirit of fear. Remember 2 Timothy 1:7, as I've been saying, and I will always say this because you need to understand it. Because when you are faced with the issues coming, you need to stand and say, I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. Okay? You stand against the enemy and he will flee. The battle's in the mind. Okay, so are you ready for that battle that's going to take place? Because regardless of what you're dealing with now, I've mentioned this before, this is the good times. Okay, you've heard him say, well, the 50s and 60s were the good times, you know, the old good old days. Yes and no. But as bad as things will get, this is the good times. Now, I'm not trying to be, you know, instilling fear, but I'm a realist because I've read the book. I also know how demons think, how they come into an individual and set up camp and become a part of who the person is, and every chance they get, they beat the person up. And when the whistle's blown and the hand of God is lifted, all bets are off. So are you ready? Are you going to be a basket case? Or are you going to be an incredible warrior like David? Okay, God wants us to be Davids. Because he wishes none should perish. Okay? And in order for us to have the courage to move forth, then the spirit of fear that's within an individual needs to go. Okay? Now, how do we do this? Well, I've mentioned, you know, I've been doing deliverance a very long time, and Julie's, you know, she's come up to speed real fast. She's got a couple of years under her belt herself. And there's not enough of us to go around. So what do we do? What's our default? Well, the only reason that demons are there is because of sin. Okay? The reason they're there is because of generational sin. The reason they're there is because of generational curses. And so we're all capable of our spoken words, unless, you know, there's something that's happened to us. But our mind, and I'm glad I just mentioned that. Even though our spoken word is extremely powerful, and we're able to accomplish things through speaking, that if, and by whatever reason, you're not able to speak, I have learned over the years that by rehearsing in my mind, by praying in my mind, by speaking to God or Jesus in my mind, that I accomplish the same thing. Okay? So some of us will be gripped with fear. and I'm sorry. I'm a realist, right? I need to address this. I'm trying to tell you and show you what you need to do in these last days. Now, one of the reasons that, let's say, you know, Mama Bear, even though she could be 600 pounds, that when a male grizzly comes along at 800, 900, 1,200 pounds, she's known to kick some rear end. You know why? She gets mad. Her fear that she would have maybe have normally have had turns to anger. and now she takes no prisoners. Okay? Full adult males have been known to be taken by females under those circumstances. And I want you to have a righteous anger towards the very wicked, the abominations, that wish to destroy you and your family. I've mentioned before, you need to have that attitude. How dare you? How dare you harm, touch a child of the Most High God? I have been bought with the price of the blood of Jesus. And this is when you get into the second time. I have not been given a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of sound mind. How dare you? See? And with that attitude, the demons will flee. See, right now, they're not scared of you. Now, they know that the moment you find out what you're capable of doing, they're in trouble. And so they have been very busy over the past couple thousand years, especially in the past 100 years, to deceive the church. Not the church of God, the corporate church. Because a true church that is of Christ, the gates of hell will not prevail. And right now, Satan is running amok right in the sanctuary. Okay? So there's enemies in the camp. Okay? Now, we're promised that there'll be a table prepared for us. Okay? And so what does that mean? Well, it means not to fear. But what we need to do is we need to repent. And if you're not repenting and renouncing and confessing your sins that you've had since you were before a Christian and you carried them into your walk with Christ, okay, you're still addicted to pornography, you're still fornicating, you know, you still have other issues that keep you in bondage, because the demons are acting out their ugly nature through you. Do you understand that? That's how that works. And by breaking the curses, by renouncing and confessing, the legal right to these demons to have you is dissolved. And then through your spoken words, in the name of Jesus Christ, get out of me now. Okay? Some of you might hack, cough, yawn. Some of you that have been violated comes out the other end. Some of you might even throw up. Some of you may just feel the pressure released off of your head. Especially those that have been operating with the third eye. That to close that completely changes one's perspective of reality, and there's a change that takes place within your awareness, your essence, because you're no longer under the infliction, under the auspices, under a pull that pulls you in a certain way of thinking, a certain way of seeing things that are, you know, you make bad decisions, where you see something before you where you know there's a right and wrong, and you just plain screw up. Okay, a lot of you know what I'm talking about. And then you later on, you go, what was I thinking? Especially in relationships. What was I thinking? We weren't. You were being manipulated. You were being influenced. You were being grabbed by the back of the neck and dragged down an alley and beat up. Now, I don't want you to wait around for the other shoe to drop. Okay, that's one of the issues that comes in with post-traumatic stress. If some of you are in an abusive relationship, you know that as sure as the sun's going to rise tomorrow, that you're going to get smacked again. You know that you're going to be sexually abused. You know that you're going to be verbally abused. You know that something that takes away who you are is going to happen again. And that anticipation is referred to as waiting for the shoe to drop, and that alone can bring in symptoms of post-traumatic stress. Okay? This is why some people have flashbacks. You know, I've mentioned before in Vietnam when that was taking place, you know, in the 60s, you know, it went into the 70s, but when it was really going strong, then I don't remember the name of the company, but they came out, you know, whether it was Glad garbage bags, they came out with those big black bags that a lot of people use for filling up with leaves, you know, the big ones, the giant. And the Vietnam vets coming back, those bags were triggering post-traumatic stress because they were seeing these bags along the road, and to them they were body bags. Their friends were in there. And that's actually one of the things that brought back the research and then the final determination that it was post-traumatic stress. You know, I've talked about it before where we have, you know, battle fatigue and shell shocked and soldier's heart, all these things all the way through Civil War, World War I, World War II, Korean War, Vietnam. And you know, we haven't seen anything yet. So you can imagine the potential post-traumatic stress that's coming. Okay, I, again, as a realist, I'm bringing this up for you to be prepared, because the last thing you need is a monkey on your back. And I'm talking about demons. You know, when you're riding a horse, you know, you can cause the horse to go one way or another by, you know, pulling on the rein or, you know, using the manipulation of the leg and so forth. So you're steering an animal one way or another, and that's what demons are doing. They're steering you. And some of them are just pulling back on those reins, and you're stuck. You're not going anywhere. You can't read the word. You can't engage in relationships. You operate in fear. You're scared to go outside. You're scared to make friends. You're scared to get into a relationship. You're scared to even stand against demons. I've had many people tell me that they made an agreement with a demon just to get here, that if they didn't, you know, if they would stop praying for a while, that please, demons, you know, let's make a deal here. Well, that's not how that works. And in fact, the moment that you enter into agreement with a demon, they've actually taken one more step closer to having you completely. You never, never make a deal with the devil. Okay? How many of you have entered into contracts and then later on that fine print bites you in the rear end? Almost all of us. Whenever you allow Satan, and I use that as a generic term for demons and fallen angels, some of you are dealing with fallen angels. Some of you, most of you, are dealing with demons. Some of you may have both. In fact, if you have one, you have the other. But the point is that if you're not ready for what's coming, they're really going to mess with your head. And it's going to be, they're going to use fear. Fear is, as I've mentioned before, a main entry, a main tool to get into you. Now, I've talked before that if you had a family that really thought it was funny to scare you when you were a little kid, they instilled demons into you. Was your big brother waiting around the corner and going boo? Were you the big brother that did it to your younger sister? See, that moment of fear, of the infraction that takes place when their little minds are overwhelmed, you know, they're startled, right? It's terrible, absolutely terrible, that at that moment, Okay, they lose complete control of their psyche, their very being of who they are. And the demons slip right in. Happens every time. That's why going to scary movies and dealing with things like that are not a good idea. This is why people in war times are in the shape that they're in, because, you know, you've got bombs going off, you've got somebody that wants to kill you. That's a big deal. Okay? I myself have looked into the eyes of an individual that wants to cause me to never breathe on this planet again. I've had someone try and end my life. And some of you probably have too. You might have been small and there was a divine intervention, whatever the deal is. You were looking at evil. You were hand to hand with them. And so a lot of the soldiers, a lot of the people that come back have dealt with that. These roadside bombs, again, they're all just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's this torment, this constant, hanging over you, that monkey on the back, that death is potentially in the next instance. That alone can cause post-traumatic stress. So whenever, let's get back to the kids, whenever you deal with children, they need to be children. They need to be in a safe environment. They need to be loved. They need to feel protected. But they also need to feel that someone's in control, someone they can trust. Okay? It's one of the reasons kids push parents. Okay? There may be an issue going on that maybe you're not doing your job. And so they do that because they need their boundaries. When kids know that they can only go so far and that they're in this camp, we'll call it, they tend to feel safer. Okay? Animals do the same thing. Wolf packs do the same thing. Dogs do the same thing. And in this alpha order of things, there's peace. Okay? Whenever that's taken away, then you've taken away God's order. And since God is a God of order and there is no order, then obviously in the details is Satan. And so when you have people that are out of order, when you have people who are in fear, when you have people who that are abused under those circumstances, they tend to grow up and not respect authority. They tend to be in an emotional turmoil. They're broken, so they have a big empty spot in them. And they spend the rest of their lives trying to fill that big hole that's in them. They don't understand what's going on. And many of them have been demonized to the point that they're hearing voices. And the voices, that sometimes people think it's the Holy Spirit. They think God's speaking to them. And so they've let these demons guide them through their whole life. Okay, now listen to this. And so the demons manipulate and control you to do certain things, you thinking that it's God, and that as long as you do the will of the Father, that everything will be okay, and then next thing you know, the bottom drops out, the rug's pulled out from underneath you, something disastrous happens because the demons set you up, and who do you blame? You blame God. Or you blamed yourself because now the demons are saying, you didn't do it right. This is your fault. This wouldn't have happened unless, you know, if you'd have done what you were told, this wouldn't happen. It's your fault. See, now the condemnation. And I've mentioned before, many actually think they've blasphemed the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now we need to understand what that definition is. And that's not it. So what I'm trying to get at tonight is that there's, regardless of the stuff we talk about when Julie's on, and any other guest and so forth, the basis is that it's on you. Your relationship is based on how you conduct yourself, your obedience, your willfulness, your love. God looks at your heart, and I've mentioned to guard your heart, because if you go through the circumstances as I just described, and you've got a broken heart, then in order to keep that heart from hurting anymore, some of you turn out to be real sons of guns. It's where the B word comes from when it comes to women. It's where the B word comes when it comes to men. Okay, and that was never God's intention for you. That was Satan. And so anybody that has authority, like police officers or, let's say, the man of the house or whatever the situation is, you won't accept it. So your torment is projected on to someone else. Projecting your hate, projecting your fear, projecting your anger, your frustrations. And it doesn't do any good. It may feel good for the moment, but it didn't resolve anything. If anything, it actually caused more stress, more disdain between you and whoever you're dealing with, if it's a spouse or kids or, you know, whatever the situation is. And this projecting is also a way of vomiting your demons onto other people. If I walk up to somebody and I have a bad day and whatever it is, my spoken words and my behavior that can cause intimidation or fear onto another person, otherwise I'm pissed, that is out of order. And what it can do is the individual, let's say it's somebody that maybe half your size, half your age, another sex that wouldn't stand up, and you actually instilled fear onto them, you've just vomited on them your demons. And this individual, who's whatever the circumstances are, may not even been their fault. Maybe they're a clerk behind the counter, whatever. They're going to go home with your demons now. And for some of you who think I'm crazy, I'm sorry, sweetheart. I get more people that come through here from being brutalized by other people. I even get counselors in here for schools, nurses. Some of you out there are nurses, and some of the patients you deal with are just, sometimes I hate to say it, but I've even had you confess that you couldn't wait for them to die because they were so mean. They were mean unto death. And what happens when they die? Then the demons flee their bodies like ships jumping off of a sinking ship. And if you've got a fraction, a wound, an open door, they're coming in and you're going home with them. That's why hospitals, you need to keep yourself completely covered. You need to really cover yourself when it comes to being within a hospital. Because as I mentioned, you got someone above, you got someone below, you got someone on the sides who are dying in or near death. And some demons have to, I don't know why, but some demons are bound in there till death. Some demons I refer to as timeshare demons, and they can come and go. Okay, and one of the things that this just came to me. Okay, when you listen to this, yes. Whew. Many of the people out there that are in the hospitals dying. You know, for instance, I had to do some work at the prison, the state prison in Florence, Arizona. They had a well that they used for, you know, drinking water, and there was a problem. And it was inside the gates in a sector or an area that was next to a cemetery, of prisoners. And it was eerie and bizarre because they were the ones that everyone had forgotten about. They were the ones that had no family. They're the ones that were either killed in prison or served out their sentence of life and then died and were buried in this godforsaken stone, ugly desert landscape to spend eternity in the ground. And it was sad because these are people that nobody wanted. You know, maybe they made mistakes, whatever the situation is. But there was no other relatives. And so what I just got was that if you have people who are in hospitals that have no relatives, everyone else has died, then those demons leaving that individual are not going to be going to the next generation. They're not going to the sons and the daughters. They're not going back to the wife. They're not going over to the brother. They're going to find the next train out of there, and that's you, sweetheart. Do you see why it's important not to have sin in your life? Especially if you're working in that environment. And if you work in a hospital, God bless you. I did myself for a while. I was the tech that worked on defibrillators, monitors, all the regulators, life support systems, x-rays. You know, I was kind of a jack of all trades as an electronic tech. I was very young. And you know what? I loved it. I felt like I was accomplishing something. You know, you get a life support system that blows a fuse. Well, guess what? Someone's got to jump on them and pump their chest while I'm down there with a meter trying to figure out why the thing doesn't work. Now, you talk about stress. Been there. So I know what hospitals are about. I also know there's a pecking order, a very bad pecking order. And some of you in the hospitals know what I'm talking about. Doctors are God, and everything goes downhill from there. So if you have issues and problems in an open door in your life with sin, generational curses that have not been taken care of, that what's coming is going to be extremely overwhelming because these demons are going to be looking for a new home. Now, I've mentioned before that let's say, and God forbid, that a bomb goes off in Los Angeles like an atomic, you know, like a suitcase nuke. Okay, so what are we talking? A couple million at one time perishing? Okay, each one of them have five demons. Okay, so what are we talking about? 10 million demons? 10 million demons looking for a new home. Ouch. So let's say that it takes place. Guy up in upstate New York, sitting there having dinner with his wife, has no idea the nuke went off, and all of a sudden, as he's buttering the bread, the murder demons that just went into him, he goes after his wife. Believe me, people, that's what's coming. And that's why you're seeing these crazy movies that they're making. The one that you laugh with and get along with now all of a sudden is absolutely bizarre, crazy. That's what's going on, sweetheart. And yourself, you think you've gone mad. And I had somebody, I don't know, a month or so ago. I was hoping they'd call, and because after talking to him, I wanted to pray for him. But they had revealed to me that there was an incident that took place, and they were set up. It wasn't their fault. And the fear that the individuals that set them up tried to cause to happen to this individual almost took place. They admitted that they thought that they were losing their mind. Something was taking them over. Something from the outside was coming in and they thought they were going to go insane. But thank God for the blood of Jesus Christ, because they knew to pray. They knew to rebuke. They knew to stand in the name of Jesus Christ and not receive it. That's another thing. If someone vomits their demons onto you, you say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I do not receive this. I have done nothing wrong. I am innocent, and therefore I will not receive this. Refuse it. See, when someone spews the stuff onto you and you're broken, and you already have a low self-esteem of yourself, many of you will accept it because you think you deserve it. The demons have set you up since you were a child. They broke you because your daddy was an SOB. And the demons went and took a 20, 30-year coffee break because you are now your own worst enemy. You don't like yourself. You expect everything wrong to happen. And therefore, you set the stage for this. Now, and it's unfortunate. It's terrible. I've seen this over and over again. You know, I told the story before I was a Christian. I worked in a very chemically based environment that had to do with fumes and liquids and heavy metals and all kinds of stuff, and I became very, very, very sick. It was the grace of God that I pulled through that. And because of the not knowing what was wrong with me and not sleeping, I started getting horrible anxiety attacks. And so if any of you have had an anxiety attack, I can relate to it. You think you're going nuts. You think you're going to have a heart attack. You can't breathe. You think you're going to die. And when I went to the doctor, I had ulcers. I mean, believe me, people, I was a mess. And the doctor, in all of his great wisdom, he was a gastro specialist. He leans over the desk and he said, you know, Scott or Mr. Hensler, when you get home, I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to say hello to your worst enemy. I said, excuse me? He said, you're bringing these on yourself. You're all strung out. You're all wired. You're hyper, blah, 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 blah. And I was not happy with what he said. I remember walking out of the thing, who does he think he is? But you know what? When the next attack came, I remembered his words. Because he also followed up by saying, it's all in your head. That's where the battle of the mind is, right? And so as it came on me, I stood and said, no, no. You know, I didn't know what else to do. I didn't know anything about demons. I was way back before I was a Christian. You know, even when I was a Christian, I didn't know about demons till I had demons, right? And I lost, but you know what? It didn't hit me right away. And the next day or whatever it was, I don't remember the next, when it came on me again, I fought, I lost. But you know what? I prolonged it. Third time around, I beat it. All through my will, all through my fight. How dare you? No, I'm not receiving this. Because I didn't know what in the world's going on. I also didn't understand there were demons behind it. But because of my stance and my willful, see, ladies and gentlemen, the angels marveled over us when God created us. We are beautifully, wonderfully made. Now, we may not look the best when we look ourselves in the mirror, but the nature and the spirit that God has put into us is beautiful. Okay? It's our hearts that can be wicked. Now, when we put our mind to something and we speak the words and we take a stance, there are incredible things that happen. That's why some people are heroes. Doesn't mean they're not scared. But they know if they stay in that foxhole, they're going to die. So they grab the AR-15 and they get out of the foxhole and they head towards the machine gun nest and they take it out. But it doesn't mean they weren't scared. They probably had to change their shorts after that was done. But you know what? It was bravery. It was courage. They knew they had no choice. You have no choice on what's coming. That's why this pre-trib garbage that has been forced down your throats is so devastating to the body of Christ, because it's keeping you in bondage. Because you think you're getting out of here. You're not fighting. You're not doing what it takes to be a man and woman of God, to stand against the wiles of the enemy. All right? Now, when that came back on me the last time, 37 years ago or more, that as it started, it was not even a fight. As soon as there was a titch of it, a skulch, if you're from Chicago, then it stopped just like that. And it never happened again. And to this day, when I do deliverance, sometimes demons will try and come on to me and confuse me, right? And I take a step back, and I'll take a Bible and put it on my head and say, no, I'm not receiving this. I have the mind of Christ. You're not going to bring confusion onto me, because a lot of people have the spirit of confusion. And that confusion can really make you confused. Especially if you've got fear, especially if you have anxiety, especially if you have the inability to love yourself. It's very confusing. Because you feel defeated. You feel hopeless. You've lost it. You don't want to live anymore. See, this is how Satan works. This is how the demons work. They've put all this stuff out there, and it's a chess game. Okay, so I got a couple of pieces in front of me here, and one is fear, you know. The other one is anxieties, nervousness, hatred, you know, different chess pieces, right? And we're playing the game, and I'm trying to in reverse get rid of these things. When the opponent, Satan, is trying to bring more of those pieces into my plane. And as I get rid of them, then the board opens up, and I can also see more things coming, right? Because now the board's not congested. There's no way to sneak in the backside or around the corner here. And so when I see it coming, I know to take a stance. I know right there to go into spiritual warfare. I know to get out of bed if it comes at me at 2 o'clock in the morning, get on my knees. Okay? That's another thing, is that you need to understand that if the Holy Spirit is prompting you at 11, 3 o'clock in the morning, whatever the time is, to pray for somebody, that individual may be in that battle, in that chess game that I'm talking about. And you may be the only one standing in the way at that moment in time to bring victory to that person. And you know what? That's quite an honor, and it's quite a responsibility. So are you ready to be responsible? Are you ready to be cleansed? Are you ready to be healed? Are you ready to be delivered? Are you ready to be the man and woman of God that God intended you to be? Because we're out of time. There's some information that I was talking to Julie about. I'll let her talk about it. We're real close. There's some things they're already trying to do that apparently God's running the interference. And God bless you, Father. God bless you, Jesus. You know, denial of the situations show that you've been deceived. Because the way the world is, how can you avoid it? How can you not see this coming? Anything that brings fear will cause you to take the path of least resistance. And you can't run into the devil running the same direction. You've got to run right into him. And if you've got fear, you're going to run from him. And if you run from him, he's going to chase you down and he's going to take you out. Because remember, that fear wasn't given to us by God. And it's our responsibility. It is our responsibility, not the guy next door. And God promised a way out for all of us. And so I take that very, very personal. I did then, 16 years ago, and I do now. I was a Christian for, 7 years before I went into the deliverance ministry? Had no idea. Absolutely no idea about any of this, because the church didn't teach me any of this. Oh, I heard a few things from a guy here and there, and some girl who, you know, likes to do spiritual warfare, but not the real hand-to-hand combat, and not to go in with the sword of the Spirit like a surgeon's knife and cut out those things in me that are not edifying, that do not bring pleasure to our Father. We don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And as we move forward, we're also here for the protection of others who are less fortunate right now, because they've been taken down to a point they can't stand for themselves anymore. We've lost a lot of brothers and sisters due to suicide or illnesses because of the anxieties, their bodies, their stomachs, you know, they just gave out. And now we're seeing that there's mass genocide. Now we see that they're making every attempt over, you know, in the East, Middle East, and other countries, and they're setting the stage here to eliminate you and me, because we're professing Christians. Because we have the seal of God on our forehead and our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why they hate us. Now these people who are doing it are demon-possessed. They think they're doing something different, though they still have hatred. They're still sellouts. But the end result is that they too will be removed. See, that's how stupid they are. See, you can have stupid demons, believe me. You can have man-hater demons. You can have women-hater demons. You can have demons. That is their sole purpose, is that particular nature of their name. And believe me, stupid demons exist. And unfortunately, it's running amok in the church. All right. Well, I want everyone to remember that... about the show that will be taking place in Phoenix, KFNX, AM 1100, and that if you're in that area and that you're interested in me airing a commercial for your business or whatever it is to help me out to get this thing going, then I would love to do that. I'd love to talk to you. You can go to scotthensford.org. On there I have all the contact information. And we'll just go from there. So, all right, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for all that you have been doing for us. And as we move forth, as we move into the issues that are coming, Father, we ask that your hand is on us and that you direct and guide us to your will, that we're in your divine protection. And Father, for any sins that they may have that need to be removed, anything they need to confess and any demons that need to come out, as they go to their prayer closet, Father, that this is resolved, that they're able to take care of business. And in that, Father, we praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. All right. Good night.